Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bibles as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we're in our eighth week of this series on heaven. Heaven, our real home. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with the topic of will we learn in heaven? We've covered a lot of things. If you've missed any of them, you can listen to them online. If you don't have that capability, then you can request a CD if you'd like one. We've talked about heaven, what is it like now and what will it be like? Because the Bible says that what it is like now is a little bit different than what it's going to be like. Because right now, heaven is off somewhere. We don't know where. But the Bible says that after the end of history as we know it and Jesus comes back and God recreates the heavens and the earth, that God's presence in heaven will come to earth on the newly created earth. We've studied all that. We talked about God himself and his dwelling place, heaven, and how he created that as a place for us to be with him. We've talked about what we're going to be like when we get to heaven as far as our bodies are concerned. We talk about having that resurrection body, that perfected body, and we spent some time looking at what that was going to be like. We spent a couple weeks talking about what are we going to do in heaven. Most people believe that we are going to worship, and that's certainly true, but many people believe that's all we're going to do. But that's not true. We talked about how we'll be working. We're going to serve God. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. We're going to fellowship with one another. The Bible even seems to indicate we're going to have fun in heaven. God is not against fun. In fact, he's the one that created it. It's our enemy and sin that has twisted it. And so heaven is going to be a great place. We're in the midst of a two-week lesson, kind of talking about what will we know. Last week we talked what will we remember in heaven. And tonight we're going to talk about what will we learn. Next week we're going to take a look at what will our relationships be like in heaven. Our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, if we have a spouse or had a spouse, our relationship with our family, our relationship with our friends, our relationship with other people that will be there. So next week we'll talk about that. Then the following week after Thanksgiving, we'll talk about could history repeat itself? In other words, sin came into a perfect world. Would it be possible for sin to come into heaven? In case you're worried about it, the answer is no. But we're going to talk about how we can know that to be sure. How we can know that we will no longer have to battle temptation and sin in our lives. And then we're going to spend a week talking about judgment and reward, that we will stand before Jesus Christ and he will judge us, not to determine whether we get to heaven or not. That's already determined by whether we accept him as Savior or not. But he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? We'll take a look at that, and we'll take a look at how he's going to reward us for what we did with what he gave us. And then the last week, we're going to talk about how should we prepare for heaven. You might think, well, as long as I'm saved, I'm prepared for heaven. Well, at the most basic level, yes, you are. Because you know that if you're saved from your sins, you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you are going to get to heaven. But to say that that's all you need to do is like saying, well, all I need to do to make sure that I'm prepared for retirement is to make sure I live long enough. You all know there's a lot more you need to do to prepare for retirement besides just living long enough, right? The same thing is true for heaven. There is much that we can do and much that we should do to prepare for heaven other than just making sure we're going to go there. Although that's the most important step, because if you don't go there, you're in trouble. All right. So we're going to take a look at that in the last lesson. So tonight, again, will we learn in heaven? There's kind of a common saying. Perhaps you've heard it. Maybe you've even said it about a situation that's like, I really don't understand this. I don't understand why this is happening to me or to someone else. I don't understand why God lets this happen. I just got to trust God because it doesn't seem to make any sense. But then somebody might say something like, well, we don't understand now, but in heaven we'll know everything. Now, do you think that statement is true? That in heaven we'll know everything? How many would say yes? Some say yes. How many would say no? No? What were you going to say, Yvonne? You won't know everything at once. But eventually you will know everything. Eventually we'll know everything there is to know. She's waffling. I think so. I think so. Okay. Well, we'll dig into that. We'll dig into that. Okay. But that's a good point, that we won't know everything all at once. But there is the idea that once we get to heaven, we'll have perfect bodies. We know that for sure. But there's also kind of the idea that we'll have perfect minds in the sense that we'll know everything. And some people tonight raised their hands and said that they would do that. Well, we'll see if that is true or not. But that does raise the other question. If we do not know everything, will we continue to learn? And or do we know everything and already have all knowledge, all ability? And if we will learn, will we learn just knowledge things? Or is it possible that we will learn new skills? Or that skills that we already have will be better at them? So those are all things that we want to dig into tonight. And the first topic, the first question we want to answer, we're going to talk about four different questions that are all related to this issue, and that is, what will we know? The most basic thing, will we know everything? Because if we know everything, obviously we're not going to learn anything because we already know it. If we don't know everything, then we got to deal with, okay, will we learn? So, first question, what will we know? And the first question underneath that, letter A, is, will we know everything? Now, I asked earlier, how many of you think we're already going to know everything? Several people raised their hands. Why would someone, you if you believe that, or if you don't, someone maybe you know, why would someone believe that we would know everything when we get to heaven? What possibility would there be? I mean, is there a scripture that says when we get to heaven we'll know everything? You shaking your head, no, yeah, what? Gene? Paul said, now we know in part, but then we will know fully. Exactly, we're going to deal with that scripture. That is probably the main reason why people would believe that we will know everything. So let's jump right into that. On your note sheet, it says explanation of 1 Corinthians 13:12. That's the passage. It's at the end of the love chapter, you know, the whole chapter about how love is so important. You know, you can sacrifice everything. You can do all kinds of wonderful things for God, but if you don't have love, it's worthless. Then there's a description about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. All these other things. And then by the very end, Paul's talking about how we don't know everything, and there's some things that are confusing to us. But in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." The New Living Translation puts it this way, just a little bit clearer. Or more perhaps on our level. "Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now." That certainly does make it sound like that we're going to know everything. But as always, you need to take verses in context and look at what they mean and what they meant at that particular time. He uses a picture here of a mirror. He says, "Now we see in a mirror dimly." Now for us, that probably brings the idea of trying to see something in the mirror, but the light's not very bright, because that's the only way we really see things in the mirror dimly. But it was different in their society. They did not have mirrors like we do today. Their mirrors, and what's really interesting is Paul's writing to the Corinthians. And Corinth was a city that made mirrors. They were known for their quality mirrors. But their quality mirrors, we throw in the garbage today. They didn't have the technology to put stuff on the back of glass, whatever that stuff is they put on the back of glass to make a really fine mirror. They made mirrors out of bronze. They basically would make bronze into flat plates and polish it to a high sheen. You know, it'd be sort of like seeing yourself in a spoon, you know, or some other sheet of metal. That was their mirror. And Paul says, you know, the way we see things, eternal things right now, sometimes it's confusing. You know, sometimes we don't see real clearly. It's like looking in a mirror, which for them was like, okay, I can kind of see myself. You know, if you wanted to have a really good reflection of yourself, you had to look in some kind of reflective pool or some kind of basin of water that could reflect the image or whatever. And so that's kind of the image or the picture that's here. He says, we can only see an imperfect reflection in those mirrors. The colors were not consistent with reality and the shapes were distorted. Now, there's two words that there's one word with a prefix on it that he uses here. He says that, and all that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely. Okay, that word for know is a Greek word called gnosko, and I'm not going to get deeply into the Greek. But then to know fully or to know completely is epigenosko. In other words, like really know. And that really is the idea that is there. It means to really know, to know extensively. But here's the thing. Whenever that word is used in Scripture about human beings, it never refers to knowing everything that there is to know. The way it is used in Scripture, when you compare Scripture with Scripture, it means that you will know a whole lot better than you know right now. Things that are confusing now, you'll understand. Things that you see but not quite, you'll be able to see clearly. It's sort of like, who was it? Monica was saying that we prayed for her friend because she had surgery. Now she can see so much better. Okay? But she probably can't see perfectly. She can't see things a mile away, 2 miles away, but she can see much, much better than she could before. And that's the idea in this passage. This verse is not literally saying that we will know everything that there is to know, but those things that are unclear to us, those things that are confusing to us, those things that we don't understand, we will be better able to do so. Okay? Wayne Grudem is a great theologian, and he says, this verse, rightly translated, simply says that we will know in a fuller or more extensive and intensive way, even as we have been known. That is, without any error or misconceptions in our knowledge. Now, if that's the only thing we had to go on, it might be a little iffy, but we're going to see some other support for the idea that we won't know everything in heaven. But on your note sheet, the way I summarize this is, when we get to heaven, we will know accurately, but not exhaustively. In other words, what we know, we will know it is right. We won't be confused about it. But not necessarily that we will know everything. Let me give you an illustration. Could you imagine that in our day, in our culture, in your situation, you had a great admiration for Abraham Lincoln? All right? And so you, as a hobby, spent a lot of time learning all about Abraham Lincoln. You read every book you could get on the subject. You know, you watched all the different documentaries, anything you could watch or read or listen to or partake of to learn more about Abraham Lincoln, you would do that. So you would know a lot about Abraham Lincoln. Do you think you'd still have some questions about Abraham Lincoln? Sure. But if you could imagine then going to heaven and Abraham Lincoln is there. Now, I'm not saying he's there. I'm not saying he's not. I know that history says he was a man of God. So let's assume he's in heaven, and let's say that you're able to sit down and talk with him for about a week. Don't you think that even after all your study you did in this life, there would be some other things that you would learn and some things that you were confused about, you'd be able to get them cleared up, and anything that you misunderstood, you'd be able to get straightened out because you'd be talking to Abraham Lincoln himself. And so that's kind of the idea that, you know, God can give us wisdom and we can grow in knowledge and we can learn so much in this life, but we still have questions. We still don't understand. But yet when we get to heaven, all that will be cleared up. And that may be true about Scripture. It may be true about situations in our lives. So when we get to heaven, we will know accurately, but maybe not necessarily exhaustively. Now, let me look at some other things that should show us that in heaven, we may not know everything. The next thing on your note sheet is the angels in heaven don't know everything. This is again, we will not become angels when we go to heaven. That's a misconception, all right? Especially if you haven't been an angel on earth. But anyway, totally different subject. But the angels don't even know. God doesn't even tell the angels everything. And when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't know everything. Now he's in heaven, he's God, and he very well may know. But it goes back to what Jesus said in Mark 13:32 concerning that day and that hour when he's coming back. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. In fact, we're going to look a little bit later and see that angels learn. Okay? But it's obvious they don't know everything. Your next subpoint there is people that are in heaven now don't know everything. A lot of the information we get about what heaven is like now, we see from visions in the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it's talking about this vision of what's taking place in heaven. And John says, when he opened the fifth seal, this is Jesus opening the fifth seal on the scroll of history. He says, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they'd borne. He says, I saw the souls of the people that had been put to death for their faith. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? In other words, they didn't know. If people in heaven know everything, they'd have been like, okay, 3 more weeks, 2 more years. In this case, this was 2,000 years ago. 2,040 years from now. No, they don't know. They're saying, God, when is it all going to end? When is it you're going to bring about righteousness and justice and you're going to avenge our lives that were given for our faith? So people who are in heaven now don't know everything. The next subpoint there is only blank knows everybody, everything. Who's the one that knows everything? Okay, I'm not going to ask you who thinks they know everything because I don't want you to be pointing and all that kind of stuff. But only God knows everything. Only God is omniscient. In 1 John 3:20, it says, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. You know, even though when we go to heaven, we'll have perfect bodies and we'll have perfect minds in the sense that there will be no physical problems with our brains, we're still going to be finite beings. God is the only infinite being, the only all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present being. The Bible never indicates that either angels or human beings will become like God in that sense. Okay, now we're supposed to become like God in character and all that kind of stuff, but nowhere does it ever indicate that we will become all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, or anything like that. There's only one God. Pearl. I don't know that sin would be another a major factor or a real factor in heaven just because we knew everything. To be honest with you, I think that the more that we know, the more we'd avoid sin. In fact, when we talk about that on that particular week, could sin happen again? One of the reasons I believe it will not is because we will really know what the consequences are instead of being deceived. So my personal opinion is no, I don't think that has anything to do with it. That if we knew everything, we might be tempted to sin. I guess maybe pride could creep in, but we'll talk about that some more in a couple of weeks. But a quote here from the book on called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. God alone is omniscient. When we die, we'll see things far more clearly and we'll know much more than we do now, but we'll never know everything. Okay? And we're going to, as we answer some more questions tonight, this will become even more clear. But the second part of this question, what will we know? We answered, will we know everything? And it seems to indicate we will not. The second part is, will we know anyone? There's this kind of odd thing this idea that's floating around out there that, I'll be honest with you, I don't really know where it comes from. But people have been told, in fact, I read a quote a couple of weeks ago, that when we go to heaven, we won't know anybody. Okay? That, you know, we'll have a new body, we won't be recognizable to other people, they won't be recognizable to us. Just on the surface, that doesn't sound like heaven to me. You know, a place where we don't know anybody, a place full of strangers. Not that you couldn't make friends or whatever, but there's nothing in Scripture that seems to indicate that. All right. In fact, just the opposite is true. On your note sheet there, the first subpoint is, in the Bible, people who have already died are recognized. Can you think of some examples of people in the Bible who have already died, but yet they are recognized? Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what's really interesting about that account is they're recognized by Peter, James, and John. And when had Peter, James, and John ever met Moses and Elijah? They never had. So that's a whole thing that we'll have to figure out when we get to heaven is, how did Peter, James, and John know who Moses and Elijah were when they'd never met them? Whether there's something about their personality kind of shown through their glorified beings or whatever. Don't know, but the point is they were recognizable. Who else had died and was recognized? Lazarus and the rich man in the story that Jesus told. When they died and the rich man went to hell, the Lazarus went to paradise, they recognized each other and they recognized Abraham. Abraham was in that story too. Okay. How about Jesus himself? When he died and he rose again in his glorified body, they recognized him. Now, there were two instances when he was not recognized. One was by the two men on the road to Emmaus, and it says specifically that God kept them deliberately from recognizing him for a purpose. And then the other one was Mary Magdalene in the garden. She didn't recognize him at first because she wasn't paying any attention to him. She was crying. Her eyes were filled with tears. She was looking at the tomb. She kind of out of the corner of her eyes saw this guy behind her, thought he was the gardener, said, "Where have you laid him?" But as soon as he spoke, she recognized his voice, turned around, saw it was Jesus, and recognized him as Jesus. So Jesus was recognizable. So the scriptures that you have on there, that's just basically the scriptures that go with the stories we just talked about, that in the Bible, people who have already died are recognized. The second subpoint there is that the Bible speaks of our future reunion with loved ones. A passage that we love, a passage we quote a lot, we quoted at funerals. In fact, I spoke about it Saturday at Marcia's funeral. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 18, talking about when Jesus Christ comes back for his people, it says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep," or those who have died. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep or died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The reason Paul's even talking about this is that he had planted the church in Thessalonica. He'd told them about Jesus coming back, and they thought he was coming back at any time, and he still could come back at any time. But time was passing, and believers were dying, and it's like, we thought Jesus was going to come back before anybody died. What happened to these people that died? And they were concerned they'd never see them again. And so Paul writes them and says, oh, don't worry about it. When Jesus comes back, they're going to be raised up. They get to be with Jesus first. And then we're going to go up to be with them if we're still alive when that happens. And he says, so encourage one another with these words. What kind of encouragement would it be if we weren't going to know each other? I mean, the passage would make absolutely no sense. All right? So the Bible speaks of our future reunion with loved ones in the sense of we will recognize them, we will be with them, we will continue to have relationship with them. So obviously, we're going to know who people are. The third question, letter C, is will we know everyone? It's obviously we'll know some people, but what do you think? Will we know everyone? Will we be able to do like Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah, never met them, but they knew exactly who they were? Do you think we'll be able to go to heaven and we'll know exactly who everybody is? I mean, you walked up to somebody you were a stranger with on earth, or maybe they lived in another time of history, and say, oh, you're so-and-so. Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, we have no definitive answer. There's nothing in the Bible that says we will or we won't. But to me, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Okay, if we had not had some kind of relationship with them, or there's not some other kind of connection, so that would just be an opinion thing, that we will not automatically know everyone. But I will say this, I think that we'll have lots of opportunities to make new friends. We talked about that last week. We're talking about what we're going to be doing in heaven. We're talking about fellowshipping not only with people we already know, but fellowshipping with people from the Bible. You know, spending time with people from history, had the opportunity to get to know and learn about anybody else who's in heaven. And so that's going to be great. So we probably will not know everyone immediately, but we'll have opportunity. We have all eternity to get to know everybody. So it may be by, 20,000, 100,000 years into eternity, we'll know everybody in heaven. It may take longer. But remember, we've got all the time in the world. There's more than all the time in the world. You've got forever. And obviously the number of people will be limited because, it'll be put to an end at some point. Even if you figure there's a couple billion people in heaven, over a period of time, you can get to know a couple billion people if you have enough time. So anyway, so that leads us to the second major question, second major division, second major topic, and that is, will we learn in heaven? So if we're not going to know everything immediately, will we learn in heaven? And I think the Bible seems to indicate that, yes, we will. Couple of things here. Letter A, going back to the angels. Angels are finite. They're in heaven, yet they're still learning. We already talked about they don't know everything, but they are still learning. The Bible talks about the angels learning. The Bible seems to indicate that when Jesus came and did what he did, that was a surprise to the angels. Apparently, God didn't share that plan with them. All right. In 1 Peter 1:12, it says, "It was revealed to them," talking about the prophets, "that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These things into which the angels long to look." In other words, the prophets spoke about Jesus coming. The people they spoke to didn't totally understand it. Okay. Wasn't fully revealed exactly what they were talking about, but then Jesus came, and then people on the other side of that, it's like they look back and say, oh, that's what the prophets were talking about. And it says that the angels were wondering too. They were looking into it. They were learning. Okay. Letter B there, various passages seem to indicate that we will be learning in heaven. A passage that applies to right here and now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. It's talking about how we should live. It says, so as to walk or live in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, as we live this life, as we seek to serve the Lord, as we grow, we should be growing or increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, let me ask you a question. How long will it take to learn all there is to know about God? I personally think we will never learn all there is to know about God because God is an eternal being. So even just in the issue of learning about God, we may get to heaven in all of eternity. We'll be learning new things about God, new facets of His personality, or even a deeper understanding of what we already know. There's a lot of things you know now that you knew a little bit before, but now you know better. And you may know even better tomorrow or next week because you continue to study it or learn more about it. Think about your personal relationships now. People that you've known for 20, 30, 40 years. You know them pretty good, but still every once in a while you learn something new. I believe in the case of God, it'll be that way forever because God is an infinite being so far beyond our capacity to truly understand in any full way. Chris? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. God could still be creating things. In fact, there are those that state that when God spoke creation into existence, that that word has never stopped creating. And there even seems to be science to back up the idea that the universe just and the galaxies and everything just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding because God's creative force is still going out to infinity. And so anyway, there's that passage. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It's talking about God raised us up with Him, talking about Jesus, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, it says that God raised us up with Him. I said Jesus, but it's God. God raised us up with Him through Jesus. What Jesus did allowed us to have a relationship with God. He's raised us up. Spiritually, we're in heavenly places. One day we'll actually physically be in heavenly places. And it says that in the coming ages, talking about throughout eternity, God will show the immeasurable riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. In other words, we will know more and more of what God actually did for us. And we'll know what God did for other people. And what's really interesting is that the word there that He might show, that word literally means to reveal in a progressive way, in an ongoing way. More and more and more will be revealed about God's grace and of His work in our lives. So there seems to be an indication here that we will learn more and more even about God's grace in our own lives as we go through eternity. Now, I want you to just think about a couple of things. These are just some thoughts that are not based on scriptures, but based on what we have talked about and just doing some logical thinking here. Don't you love to learn something new in an area that you're interested in? It brings great joy. And we talked about how God wants us to enjoy and in His presence is fullness of joy and pleasure. So the idea of learning, now the idea of studying, the idea of school may not be a pleasant thought. But the idea of learning about something or someone that we love is a pleasant thought. So it certainly would be something that we could do in heaven. I think that, you know, we could have the opportunity to learn more about things we were interested on earth, about God's creation. If there's a certain area of knowledge that you've had an interest in, astronomy, biology, any of the sciences, I could picture, again, this is not based on scripture, it's just opinion, but I could picture where God would allow us to continue to study that into eternity and learn more and more about how God created everything and how He sustains it and all that kind of thing. I believe that we'll have a lot of fun learning the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to put it. You know, part of it, we know a part of a story, then we get to learn the rest of the story, talking about how God was not only involved in our lives, but how He worked in the lives of other people. You know, how many of you have got all of Scripture memorized and you understand everything the Bible says? None of us do. Nobody does. When we get to heaven, we may learn even more clearly about exactly what God did and what he meant by the scriptures and how it all fits together. All the questions we have, all the areas where good Christian people don't quite see it the same way. When we get to heaven, if we don't know it immediately, we'll learn. You know, we'll learn who was right and who was wrong. And I think we're going to find that all of us were right in some areas and wrong in others. You know, we've been talking a lot about mental learning and knowledge learning, but how about learning new skills? You know, what are some things that you, this is just for fun. What are some things that you can't learn, you don't know or can't do now that you'd like to learn in heaven? Vaughn. What? Other languages? Okay. Well, you speak Jamaican Patois, so what else do you need, right? Patois, okay. Susan, what would you like to learn?
Music.
Music? But you already sing.
Yeah, but there's a lot to learn in music.
There's a lot more to learn in music, okay? More about music. What else would you like to learn? Yes, Gina. We all need help with that, learning how to deal with kids better than we do now. Of course, the question would be, would we need that there, you know, because everybody will be, you know, mature, that kind of thing. Anything else you'd like to learn? How many would like to learn how to play an instrument or some other instrument, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of different things that we might would enjoy learning, and it could bring glory to God because God created all of those things. Now, think of the opposite. What would heaven be like if you got there and you already knew everything and could already do everything perfectly?
Boring.
Boring. We might like it for a little while. Okay? I mean, what would it be like for you to play your favorite sport and you could already do it perfectly? There'd be no challenge. There'd be no sense of accomplishment. It's like, well, yeah, I got a perfect body, perfect mind, whatever. I can hit a home run every time. I can, you know, whatever it is in cricket or football or baseball. You know, any of those things, if there was that perfection, it'd be like boring. You know, growing and learning and stuff is all part of how God created us, and it's a good thing. And remember, all the good things of earth are going to make it to heaven and just be even better. So again, the idea, again, we don't have scriptures for these, but just some things that seem to make sense based on what we do know about the Word of God. Now, I'll tell you what, I think that God's going to let us keep doing some of the things that we already do. I love to study and learn. I love to teach. I believe that we'll have opportunity to do like that too. We learn, we may teach people things because we're further along than they are. Just like people will teach me things because they're further along than I am. And so the people that are at the head of the class, God's going to have to teach them. So, and we'll just keep passing it down, right? All right. So here's the thing. Yes, Junan. That's a whole other thing is what kind of technology will there be? Yeah. This technology we have now, you know, 20 years ago, dreaming about it, it's like, that's science fiction, you know? In fact, you know, science fiction actually predicted it. You remember Star Trek and the little tricorder things? That's the old-fashioned cell phones. I mean, cell phones today have gone far beyond that now, you know. And but what the technology might be into eternity would be amazing. So, Susan.
I would like to physically fly.
You'd like to physically fly. God may give us the ability to do that. Well, to wrap up this particular thing so we can go on to the last two. I believe that in heaven we will not deal with all the negatives and difficulties we associate with studying and learning here on earth. Boring teachers, the inability to understand, the inability to remember. We won't have those problems. Joy, learning will be a joy. Just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, work in heaven will be a joy. Accomplishment with satisfaction, doing things that we love to do. Learning will be the same way. Okay, the third question here is kind of a side issue. Will we see events on earth from heaven? What do you think? How many of you say you'd be able to look down from heaven and see events on earth? Or some people say, no. No, you don't think so? You don't think so, Chris? Okay, so you think that we'll see some things? All right. Well, let's take a look at this. Letter A, will we see anything on earth? Much less the idea of everything, but will we see anything on earth? Now, a lot of you guys said no. Why do you believe that we will not see anything on earth? It's a different dimension? So God could not give us the ability to see into a different dimension? Okay. Any other ideas of why you would believe that we would not see anything on earth? Egbert. Okay. Well, first of all, we're talking about heaven right now, and the earth's here. But also remember that the old earth has passed away, but God's created a new one. Of course, when we get to the new earth, new heaven and new earth, we'll be on it. So we're actually talking about heaven as it is now. It's not a part of earth. Okay? All right. Well, Here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is no scripture that says that we will not see anything on earth. Where most people get that idea from is the fact that there's a lot of sin and evil and sadness on this earth. And how would it be heaven if we could look down and see that? Okay. Well, let me deal with a couple of things here. First of all, there are quite a few scriptures that seem to support the idea that we will see some things on earth. And they're not all pleasant either. Let's talk about them. On your note sheet there, various scriptures show people in heaven reacting to things that happen on earth. Okay? There are scriptures that show people who are in heaven that whether they see them or not, they know what is happening. At least some things that are happening on earth because we see them reacting to it. In the book of Revelation in particular, Revelation 18:20. That's when the Bible talks about how Babylon is destroyed. Whatever Babylon is, whether it's an actual nation or city or whether it's symbolic of something else, it says that God will destroy Babylon because Babylon stands for everything that is anti-God. And when that happens, people in heaven know it has happened and they are rejoicing. So whether they see it happen or they just know it's happening because God's told them or whatever, they know at least that's happening on earth. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 5, it talks about these acts of judgment that God is doing on earth during the tribulation, and the people in heaven know about it. Let me give you a couple of other examples. In the Old Testament, before he died, King Saul was facing a battle with the Philistines. God had rejected him as king because he had disobeyed God, and he wanted instructions from God, and he prayed, and God would not give him any instructions. So he went to a witch, to a medium. Okay, and asked her to call up the spirit of Samuel. And it seems to indicate that she actually was able to do that, and it totally surprised her. It seems to indicate that in the past, if people asked her to call up the dead, she was actually calling up demon spirits or doing something, whatever, that wasn't real. But Samuel came, and he had been dead, but he knew exactly what Saul had been up to. And he also knew what was going to happen to him because God had revealed it to him. But he knew what Saul had been doing. So whether that was a special circumstance or whatever, but God had allowed Samuel to know what Saul had been doing on earth when Samuel was in heaven. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus, they're aware of what's happening on earth and what's going to happen. They're talking about how Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to die. Now, again, the objection is it wouldn't be heaven if we knew of bad things happening on earth since there would be no more crying or pain in heaven. Well, we talked about this in our last lesson. Keep in mind, God knows about everything that's happening on earth, but heaven is still heaven to him. And the same thing is true for Jesus, and the angels at least know to some degree what's going on. But also keep in mind that that promise of no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, that is a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the new earth. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be sorrow in heaven until the new earth, but it's possible. Scripture doesn't say it won't be. The Bible says that once God recreates everything, he brings everything to an end, then there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no more pain. Okay? But to be honest with you, I think that once we're in heaven and we're in the presence of God, we could be aware of almost anything, and it still would not dampen our joy or our excitement or our enjoyment of heaven. Now, this is all kind of philosophical, but just kind of putting that out there. You know, Jesus is in heaven. But the Bible makes it clear that he hurts for his people on earth that are suffering. You know, in particular, when Saul was persecuting the church and God decided to get his attention, knocked him over and made him blind. And basically Jesus spoke to him and says, why are you persecuting me? Why are you hurting me? Because when Saul was hurting God's people, he was hurting Jesus. And Jesus is in heaven. So anyway, I'm not saying that we're going to see a lot from heaven at all. In fact, these all may be special circumstances where God allowed people or groups of people to see things on earth for specific reasons. We may get to heaven and we may not see anything about this earth except for whatever God says, okay, you can see this. And I'm certainly not saying that God's going to let us see everything. In fact, that's the letter B. Will we see everything on earth? I don't know, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I've said this before and it's just a thought. It wouldn't surprise me at all if when someone's died and gone to be with the Lord, if God allows them to watch their funeral. You know, I mean, haven't you heard people say that at funerals? Well, I know you're looking down on me. Well, that's wishful thinking more than factual thinking, but it may be true. The Bible doesn't say it couldn't be true. Okay. So, just a thought. Again, some of these ideas are squarely based on God's word. Some are just conjecture, but there's no scripture to contradict it either. So we'll find out when we get there. When we get to heaven, we'll find out what we can see on earth, if anything. All right? All right. So, letter B was, will we see everything on earth? I don't know, but I doubt it. The last thing I want to deal with is, will we pray in heaven? What do you think? Will we pray in heaven? A lot of yeses here. Okay? Well, let me ask you something. What is prayer? Talking to God. Don't you think we're going to talk to God in heaven? Sure. So we're going to pray in heaven. All right. The thing is what are we going to pray about? The real question is, when we get to heaven, will we pray about things and for people on earth? We're definitely going to be talking to God as far as being in relationship with Him, you know, growing in that relationship, learning more about Him. We talked about how, we'll be able to spend one-on-one time with God and with Jesus. But do you think that when we're in heaven, we will pray to God or talk to God about people that are still on earth? Some people are saying yes. Some are like, I don't know. I've answered some of the questions tonight. You turned it around, so I don't know what to say. Well, let me just very quick to say, I don't know. But there are people in heaven that are praying about things on earth. Jesus is. Now, Jesus is a special case. Jesus is God. Okay. Letter A there is Jesus prays in heaven. Who does Jesus pray for in heaven?
Us.
Aren't you glad? Romans 8:34. Who is to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Jesus is in heaven praying for us, talking to God for us. He's on our side. Not only that, letter B, but the saints in heaven are praying in heaven. The saints in heaven are praying in heaven. Revelation 6:10, that same verse, same passage I read earlier. These saints cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Now they're praying judgment. They're not praying God save them. They're praying God bring justice, bring righteousness. But they're praying about the situation on the earth. Now let me make a very, very important couple comments here. They're going to wrap this up. There is no place for us to pray for people who have already died. Sometimes you hear people talk about, well, I'll, so-and-so died. Well, I'll be praying for him. It's too late. Not trying to be ugly, but it is too late. The decision has been made. The Bible makes it clear in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. We make our decisions in this earth, or on this earth. Once we die, our fate is sealed. Either we will be in heaven because we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, or we will not be. Okay? So it does absolutely no good to pray for the dead. Now, I know there's other religious traditions that pray people out of purgatory. There is no purgatory in the Bible. Okay? Once we die, that's it. Now, here's interesting is the pertinent question is not should we pray for the dead, but do the dead pray for us? You know, we just ask the question, will we pray for people when we get to heaven? I don't know. You know, when I get to heaven, if I've got loved ones that aren't saved, will I sit down and talk with God about, say, God, would you please just work in their lives? And I could picture that happening. It could be there are people in heaven, our loved ones who've gone on before, they're praying for us. It's like, God, give them extra strength. Help them make it through. Whether they can see what we're going through or not, you know, I could, again, there's no scripture for this, but I could picture that happening. People that know us but are now in heaven asking God to do things on our behalf. It's possible. Again, there's no scripture for it. Were you going to say something, Sadis? Oh, I thought I saw your hand. Or was it Rupert? Okay. Anyway, whoever's going to say something, go ahead and say it. That's true. The rich man was asking for a favor for his relatives, but he's asking Abraham, not God. Exactly. Yeah. One last thought I want to deal with, and then we're going to wrap this up, is the idea of praying to the dead. Now, I don't mean in the sense of making them God, but talking to dead ones, to people who have died and gone on. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. You go to a graveside and you express your feelings about a person or to a person who's gone on to be with the Lord. I'm not saying that that's idolatry or any kind of problem, but there's nothing in the Bible at all about trying to talk to people who have already died. Now, there's a lot about trying to call them up and communicate in occultic ways. You're not supposed to do that. But the idea of going to a grave and just expressing how you feel and maybe even a personal way, like, you know, I miss you so much or whatever, I don't think God looks at that. This is my opinion, as something that's bad or negative. But I don't talk in that way to people who have died. But I have before. gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know if you'll do this or not, but would you tell my grandma that I miss her and I'm looking forward to seeing her someday? And about that, about other people too. Because, you know, you're still praying to God. The only person the Bible talks about we're supposed to pray to is God. But I don't think there's any problem with asking God to pass the message along. I mean, he's God. He can do it if he wants to, and he can choose not to. But I wouldn't be surprised if God doesn't pass messages along. You know, say, God, would you please let so-and-so know that I really miss them, and I'm glad that they're with you, and I'm looking forward to being with them again when we're all together in heaven. So that's something to think about. Let me read this last quote, and we got to go. Our knowledge and understanding in heaven will be clearer and enhanced in ways that will bring glory to God. I believe that we'll be forever learning more about God and his workings in the lives of people. Our memories will only enhance the joys of heaven and our thankfulness for what God has done. They will never detract from the joy of heaven. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to study your word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that hopefully it's been encouraging to think about heaven and what it's going to be like. Lord, some of the things we've talked about, there are definite answers. And maybe we learned some things, and that's great. May we stand upon the truth as we know it from your word. Some of the things we've talked about, Lord, are just conjecture. They're just opinions. They're just, well, maybe it's this way, maybe it's not. But Father, I thank you that we can know for sure from what you revealed in your word. We've studied it tonight and many other weeks. That, Lord, that in your presence is joy forevermore, Lord God. And pleasure. And Lord, you created all things good for us to enjoy. It's just sin that has twisted it. And when we get to heaven, all that is good will be there without that sin to twist it. Father, I pray that we would continue to rejoice in what you've prepared for us and look forward to it, Lord, with enthusiasm and joy. And may it spur us on, Lord God, to live as we should here, to prepare for there and to share the good news with other people so that they can join us there. And Lord, since I just talked about it, tell our loved one, if you would please, if it's in your will, would you tell our loved ones we're looking forward to seeing them again and we're so glad they're there with you. We thank you and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online at www.marionoaksag.org. If you would like to help support this ministry, please mail your donations to Marion Oaks Assembly of God at the address listed on our website.